بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، وبعد، فاذكروني أذكركم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما الإحسان أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه، فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My respected elders and brothers, the hadith which I quoted, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains that all a'mal, the entire deen that we practice, we should do it with a certain quality. And that quality is called sifatul ihsan, the consciousness and the awareness of Allah. My dear brothers, one of the reasons that we came here is to sit in the company of our seniors and our mashayikh and to learn from them how we can acquire the sifatul ihsan. It is not something that is just going to come like that, no. A great effort is needed. In Arabic there's a statement, لِكُلِّ فَنِّ rijal. Every field they've got its men. So how to develop this quality of ihsan to its fullest, so we can get the full fruits of this ihsan, we have to sit in their sohbah, and we have to sit in their company. If we look at the maqasid to dhikr, the objectives of dhikr, then we find the ulama said khamsa, there are five things. And one of the five, the fifth one, is to develop this quality of ihsan in us. So number one is that, my dear brothers, and this is the fundamental maqasid and objective of every amal, and that is marbatullah, Allah's pleasure. In fact, the foundation of every amal should be, it is Allah's want, it is Allah's wish, it is Allah's command. Whatever we do, 24/7, my Allah, that should be the hadaf. That should be the main incentive why, and that will be driving me to do every deed. Allah says, فَذْكُرُونِي, remember me. Allah is instructing us to remember Him. So why are we making the dhikr? The foundation is Allah's command, Allah's wish, Allah's want. And what is the ultimate? The ultimate is Allah's pleasure. So this is number one. The first objective of the dhikr of Allah is to be doing this amal because it's Allah's command and the ultimate is Allah's pleasure. Number two, the ulama explained, thawab min Allah. So if the foundation is correct, it's Allah's want. If the ultimate is correct, Allah's pleasure. In between, Allah is prepared to give us so much thawab. We know there are hundreds of ahadith on the fadail of dhikr. So that is something, they say istighdarul fadail, to keep the rewards in front of us. I mean this ayah which I quoted, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. What reward can be greater than Allah remembering us? Allah boasting to the malaika about ourselves, such weak slaves sitting here, Allah is boasting about us. One of the greatest rewards that there is, qurb ilahi, through kathra to dhikr, we will get proximity and closeness to Allah. So according our closeness to Allah in this dunya, in the akhirah we will have the closeness to Allah Ta'ala in the akhirah as well. May Allah grant us that. Objective number three of dhikr is talheenul qalb, is to soften the heart. It is one of the khasiyah to dhikr, one of the objectives of dhikr. That is why dhikr is repetitive. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, subhanallah. It is something we repeat. So the ulama explained that nur that comes through that dhikr, it pounces the heart, it knocks the heart, it removes all the darkness of sin, the darkness of hubbu dunya, that we find the disobedience of Allah, the love of dunya has hardened our hearts. So the dhikr of Allah pounces and it softens the heart. So why is this important? Why is this necessary? So that the rest of the a'mal of deen can take its desired effect very quickly. The heart becomes like a sponge. Now if we listen to ayat of Jahannam, immediately it will affect us, we will cry. If we listen to ayat of Jannah, immediately we will become affected, we will yearn for Jannah. If we read Salah, whatever amal of deen we will do, it will take its desired effect. You know, like some people, if the meat is tough, then they put a tenderizer. The tenderizer make the meat soft, isn't that so? So likewise, this is a khasiyat of dhikr. By repetitive, by making kathra to dhikr, it will soften the heart. so that the rest of our amal of deen will quickly take it. It becomes like a sponge, and we will quick. Otherwise, my dear brothers, through other amal, that amal will first be used to soften the heart, to clean the heart. Now the balance of the nur of that amal, it will be used to for sawab and reward. But if the heart is clean, if the heart is soft, then the whatever amal of deen we do, immediately it penetrates and it's used for darajat, and we will get our full sawab. Objective number 4 of dhikr is tazkiyatun nafs. We know the majalis of dhikr, sitting in the company of the mashayikh. What is the mawdu'? What is the subject matter of coming here? One of the main amal is what? Kathra to dhikr, excessive dhikr. Isn't that so? Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Khan of Jalalabad, rahimahullah, Allah put nur in his sabr, and all our mashayikh, he mentioned once that la ilaha illallah, the dhikr of nafi is bad. He says the mashayikh have laid down 20 methods of how through la ilaha to remove from the heart illallah, to bring the nur of Allah into the heart. He says the mashayikh have developed, Allah opened up unto them 20 different methods. And then he says, cause of the most famous, one of it I will just mention that he mentions, he says la, and he does this. He says this is la, lam alif, it is like a sword, it is like two swords. And then he says, when you say la ilaha, when you say la, below the navel, which is our nafs, whatever radail, whatever sins they are, with la, we cut it. And then we pulled it through the qalb. Because in the heart, in the ruh, there are two centers of islah. One is the nafs, and one is the qalb. One is the heart. So these two we need to purify. So Mawlana Masihullah explained, la ilaha, from the nafs we draw all the radail, and all those darkness that is in the nafs, we draw it out and we clip it. And through the heart, la ilaha, and we throw it out, and illallah, we picture the nur. So dhikrullah is used as a means of cleansing, as a use of cleaning the nafs. The Messiah will give us various types of adhkar. Rigorous mujahada will be made in order to clean the nafs. And then number 5, my dear brothers, to develop the quality of sifatul ihsan, the quality of ihsan. Nabi Sallam in the hadith says you must do all your amal with this consciousness and awareness of Allah. But the Messiah explained the dhikr of Allah is that amal which we need. Through the dhikr of Allah, we need to develop the sifat of ihsan. The ihsan, quality of ihsan, is not just going to pop up like that. We're going to have the consciousness of Allah. The mind is going to be fixated to Allah. No. It is an effort needed. It is something we need to sit. That's why they say, sit in a corner and make the dhikr of Allah. And in that way, we need to develop the mind. We need to develop the heart. So one of the specialities of dhikr is to develop this sifatul ihsan. So, where the dhikr of Allah is concerned, my dear brothers, in applying the quality of ihsan, or perfecting the quality of ihsan in our dhikr, the ulama explained, the mashayikh explained, 3 things we need to apply at the same time. In other words, 3 things we need to bring in line to help us to develop this quality of ihsan in our dhikr. They say, number 1, the jism, the body. Number 2, the qalb, the heart. And number 3, the mind. So as we make the dhikr, most of the time, we just make subhanallah, subhanallah, we just lip service. But are we applying the body as well? Are we applying the heart? The heart is to be in a certain state. There's a certain spiritual frame of mind, of heart that we should be in when we make every particular dhikr. And likewise, the mind, are we gazing towards Allah and thinking about a particular thing that is in that respective? In that respective dhikr. So all 3 things we need to make a juhd. So this is why we came to this ijtima, in order to sit at the feet of our seniors and to learn how to perfect this quality of ihsan. So where the body is concerned, there are a few adab that the Messiah give in order to enhance this quality of ihsan. Firstly, they say in the kitab Irshadul Muluk, one of the kitabs of the Chishtiyah, in there is mentioned, there are 8 bunyadi usul. There are 8 fundamental usul of tazkiyah and a person's islah. Number 1 is that person must be da'imul mutawaddi. He must always be constantly in the state of wudu. Constantly in the state of wudu. And then they explain there, that this wudu that a person takes, that is, like we have externally cleansed ourselves, we've made wudu, wash the sins from the body, it facilitates and makes easy internal cleanliness. So in other words, we want islah to be made, we want tazkiyah to be made, isn't that so? So by always being in a state of wudu, it will facilitate and Allah will make it easy for internal cleanliness. So they say this is one of the 8 fun bunyadi usul of islah and tazkiyah. And then my dear brothers, obviously 24/7 we should be making dhikr in every position, in every direction. But if we take our time out in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, there's a position, preferably we must sit qibla. So the Mashayikh explained, why do we sit qibla? Physically, you have turned the body in one direction. Now the body becomes stationed, it becomes still in one direction. Now it is easy slowly for the mind and the heart also to turn to the direction of the qibla. So if we physically, initially, or the certain times a day that we have to sit, and nafs don't want us to sit, it's easy to walk and make the dhikr. As I said, dhikr we should make 24/7, but there's specific times that nafs don't want us to sit, and that is where the real mujahada is. So by sitting in the facing the qibla, it becomes easy for Allah to mold our minds, and for us to train our minds towards the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then my dear brothers, with that also, of the adab is that we should make the dhikr, we should close the eyes. So by closing the eyes, it's saddul aynain, it helps us, because this is a gateway. Whatever the eyes see goes to the mind. We need to shut off the eyes in order to make it easy to concentrate, to help us to concentrate. So in this way, the adab that the ulama gave, the position, you know, one of the most comfortable positions is mutarabbi, is cross-legged. That's why most of our mashayikh we find, they sit in this position cross-legged. Because in that position, you can easily, for hours, you can make dhikr. Very, very easily. So my dear brothers, these are few adab they've given in order to prepare the body. Now that the body is prepared, facing the qibla, towards this quality of iftan, the second effort they say is the effort of the heart. In other words, in every dhikr, there should be a certain frame of heart. The object of preparing the heart is, you know, like Imam Ghazali rahimullah in his famous kitab Ihya Ulumuddin, when he discusses this point of, he says, every amal of deen, there's a certain spiritual state that we should go in. When it comes to Quran, when he discusses, you've got 10 external adab, and then you've got 10 internal adab of tilawah, of Quran. And he says every, he mentions like approximately 8 different subjects matter in the Quran. So he says if you think about Allah, there's a certain state that your qalb must go in. If you think of the ayat of Jahannam, your qalb must go in a different state. If you come to the ayat of Jannah, your heart should go in a different state. If you come to the ayat of Allah's commands, your heart should go, I'm ready, O Allah. If you come into a state of Allah's prohibitions, the state of, and Allah mentions the stories of the previous umam, he mentions approximately 8 different states. So we said, spiritually, when you read tilawah, your heart must go from hal to hal. And he says, likewise, all the other amal of deen. So likewise, my dear brothers, when we make the dhikr of Allah, when we say subhanallah, is it just subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah? Or does our qalb go in a certain, what does subhanallah demand? So few minutes, we will go through a few dhikrs, and we will explain to you what the state of heart should be when we do these basic adhkar. And likewise, the frame of mind. Because remember, one of the objectives, the fifth object of dhikr, is to mold the mind, to train the mind to think, كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى, we are gazing at Allah. We are fixating the mind towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously there is an effort. So with the tongue, as we make the dhikr, subhanallah, the body is in a certain position, still is facing qibla. We prepare the shell, we prepare the external. Now the heart should go in a certain state. So, where subhanallah is concerned, if we make the dhikr, and this is sunnah, we make it 5 times a day, before sleeping, 6 times minimum, we say 33 subhanallah, 33 alhamdulillah, 33 Allahu Akbar. So my dear brothers, when we say subhanallah, what should be in the mind? The ulama explain, glory be to Allah, purity. What does that purity mean? They explain, sifatu tanzeeh. In other words, we're declaring Allah Ta'ala free from all worldly attributes. There's a fancy name you give, they give deanthropomorphism. In other words, declaring Allah free. Allah is free from all worldly attributes, worldly qualities, worldly defects, blemishes, imperfections. So when we say Subhanallah, then what should happen is, in our mind, أنت منزّع عن كل عيب. Allah is free from every fault. In a tafsir under the ayah of Subhan, the ulama explained that Allah is free from كل نقص. The hadith says the word نقص, نقص بمعنى بصاد, قاف صاد, meaning fault. Allah is free from all blemish and every shortcoming. So if you put it in one line, so remember when we apply the mind, we must think of one thing as we're gazing at Allah. We should think of one thing. Now before when we make the dhikr of Allah, it's a mental application. It is a spiritual with a heart application, and the body should be prepared when we make the dhikr. So when we apply the mind, then we should connect with Allah first. How do we do that? From your mind, you look at your spiritual qalb. Spiritual qalb is situated on the left side of the chest, two fingers below the nipple. This is the latifatul qalb. The spiritual heart is situated here. So first, before we make the dhikr, we connect with Allah. So how do we connect the mind and heart? From our mind A, we think of B. From B, we log on. We think about Allah. So it's very simple. We just think, we are thinking about Allah, and we keep the mind there. That is how simple it is. So at the beginning of the dhikr, wa, A, B, C. From the mind, look at the heart. From the heart, we gaze at Allah, and we keep the mind there. Then we start the dhikr. Now intensely, the mind is applied. So when we say Subhanallah, we think of one sentence. Anta munazza an kulli aib. That Allah is free from every fault. Allah is free from every fault. Allah is free from every fault. Sifatut tanzih. So to make it easy, we zoom into one word, free. So if we say with the tongue, we say Subhanallah, 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 Subhan. There's one word in the mind. Remember, as we are gazing at Allah, we have to, in the dhikr of Subhanallah, we should be thinking one thing about Allah, one sifa of Allah, sifatu tanzih. Sifatu tanzih meaning the quality that Allah is free from all faults. But we cannot think 100 words in our mind. We have to bring it down to make it easy. So for example, ulama explain, you think of free. So by thinking free, what does free mean? If you touch onto free, Allah is free from every fault. But in other words, you're applying the mind and you think about one thing alone, one thing only. So it's easy to mold and to train the mind in Subhanallah to think about Allah Ta'ala's quality of sifatu tanzih. And what is the preparation of the heart? That Allah is free from all imperfections. Allah sifatul kamal. Allah is perfect. So that is in the heart. We freeing Allah of all imperfections. Allah is perfect. Sifatul kamal. Allah is perfect. That is the state that we go into. And the mind free. So if a person closes his eyes and he connects with Allah from the mind, gazes at the heart, he gazes at Allah and he keeps the mind there. And he says, Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. Then his heart should be in that state of freeing Allah. His mind should think free. And that is the application in the mind as he's saying, Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. And that is what we should think of. If we think, for example, Alhamdulillah. When we make the dhikr of Alhamdulillah, what is the preparation of the heart? The ulama explain that we think for few seconds of all the ni'am. We think of all the favors of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has given us thousands of physical, worldly, thousands of spiritual favors. Isn't that so? Iman, Islam, we are sitting here in a gathering of deen. So by few seconds thinking about all the ni'am, the favors of Allah, those favors have got a mun'im, that is Allah. So automatically, thinking about the favors, our heart inclines towards shukr. I want to thank Allah. So automatically the preparation of the heart is gratitude. Now gratitude flows, oh my Allah, I want to thank you, I want to praise you. Oh Allah, what can I do? Ya Allah Ta'ala created, Alhamdulillah. So what's the preparation of the heart? We think few seconds of the favors of Allah, and that will prepare the spiritual state of the heart into shukr. Now the heart is flowing, I want to give something back, I want to thank my Allah. And then what is in the mind? All praise is only for Allah. So if you zoom into one word, all praise, all praise. Remember, from the mind you look at the heart gazes at Allah. The spiritual eyes gazes at Allah, and we keep the mind there and we say, Alhamdulillah, 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 Alhamdulillah. As we say Alhamdulillah, the heart is in a state of shukr. That is flowing from the heart. And what is in the mind? All praise, all praise. We think about one thing only and nothing else. So in this way, we will train the mind. The heart will be flowing and the mind will slowly develop. Initially it's a bit difficult, but afterwards it will become thickened. It will become thickened nature. And likewise, Allahu Akbar. If we make the dhikr of Allahu Akbar, what do we think of? Allahu Akbar. In this Allahu Akbar, sifatul jalal, the quality of Allah's greatness. The ulama say we think about two things. Number one, compare creation to creator. Compare creation to creation. What comes in our mind of huge creation? The earth, the sun, the skies, Jibreel alayhi salam, Jannah, Jahannam, the arsh, huge, big. Comparing creation to creation, they are big and huge, mighty creations. But number two, if you compare creation to creator, makhluk to khaliq, can we compare? Allah is incomparable. Laysa kamithlihi shay, nothing is like Allah. So if we think of all those huge creations, the sky, Jibreel alayhi salam, the mighty Jannah and Jahannam and the arsh of Allah, all those creations, it is like kibriya'uhu kama yaliku bisha'nihi. Allah is as befitting to His majesty, we cannot compare. All those great creations is like a dharra, is like a speckle, is like a dot, only Allah is great. So what if we do in Allah? That's why Allah, Allahu Akbar starts with Allah. So when we say Allah, even before we come to Akbar, we wipe out, we obliterate the greatness of everything when you say Allahu Akbar, only Allah is great. So, all greatness is only for, if you want to be technical, all greatness is only for Allah. All greatness is only for Allah. So when you say Allahu Akbar, the preparation of the heart, the sifatu jalal, there must be greatness, only Allah is great. We wipe out the greatness of ourselves first, and then the greatness of everything is like it's blotting it out, it's obliterating everything, we only see Allah. Allahu Akbar. And then what is in the mind? All greatness, all greatness. That is the preparation of the mind. And then we close the eyes when we make the dhikr and we say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. But at the same time the heart is flowing with Allah's greatness, the mind is thinking of all greatness, and we think of that while we fixate the mind and we think Allahu Akbar, 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 Allahu Akbar. So in this way, my dear brothers, we must make an effort. This quality of ihsan is not something that will just come like that. And then just lastly, for example, if you make this salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Mashayikh has also given us guidelines. They say, what is the preparation of the heart? Al-Qawlu al-Badi of Allama Sakhawi, probably one of the greatest books ever written on the salawat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling salutations of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a chapter in there, Al-Maqsood min Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, many kitabs we've read, but we haven't found in any book so much detail that Allama Sakhawi gives to, you've got approximately 4 to 5 pages in Arabic. Why we should make salawat on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Obviously the fundamental reason is Inna Allahu wa malaikatahu ila akhir al-aya. It is Allah's command, Allah and His malaikas in salutations on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. O people of Iman, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. That is why we're doing it, number one. Number two, Allama Sakhawi says 4 or 5 pages. I'm going to give you the synopsis and summary. He says all the khair that Allah gave us in this dunya and akhirah, all the sharr and evil that Allah saved us in the dunya and akhirah, it is because of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you read those, the word that is mentioned, ihsanat, all the kindnesses, all the sacrifices, all the difficulties that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam underwent for myself and for you. So by thinking about it, what develops? I want to give something back to the Nabi of Allah. And Allama Sakhawi uses the word mukafa'ah. Recompense. Now your heart goes into a state of restlessness. Oh my Nabi, I want to give something back. He says, yeah, Allah created the quality of salawat, salutations of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now with that feeling, the heart is prepared. And now we go into a mental state. What is the mental state? Al-malaika sayyahin fil ard. There's a hadith, quite a few hadith that says, there are special malaika roaming the earth. One is malaika that's around this gathering. Then there's special malaika that only search for those to make salawat to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And their job is to take this salawat and present it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the mental state. We picture that these malaika will be taking it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they'll be presenting it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it comes in a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to this effect, if anyone makes salawat upon me, raddallahu alayhi ruhi, Allah returns back my life, and I reply to that person. So the ulama said this is the second of the day, but someone in the dunya is making salawat to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So obviously Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive in his qabr, and he receives the salawat from us. So the ulama explained we should have a picture. Sahaba did us an immense favor by describing the beautiful features of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say like a deep meditation and concentration. We are sitting, we're going to make salawat. Few seconds, you prepare the heart, thinking of all the sacrifices the Nabi of Allah did. And now with the preparation of the heart, I want to sin. I want to give something back to the Nabi. Picturing how that angel will present it to the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should have a picture. Nabi sallam is sitting there with all that nur and that beauty. The Nabi of Allah is sitting there. And they say, if you phone, for example, your beloved mother, Assalamu alaikum mother, how are you? You can picture, I'm at the istima. And you can picture your mother is sitting in the kitchen. She's having a rooibos tea with a toast. As you speak to her on the phone, can we have a mental picture? Yes. So likewise, mentally, they say from here, we're in Azadville, the mind should go right over Masjid al-Nabawi, the Rawda, the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we should picture, have a deep, deep connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like you have a picture in your mind of your mother sitting, we have a picture when we make the salawat. And then finally the Arab Azim, the great presentation. Now the angel is going to say, Ya Rasulullah, this salawat comes from Fulan bin Fulan. They're going to mention my name and they're going to mention my father's name. Imagine all of us sitting here. What ecstasy and feeling must go in our heart that moment as we make salawat, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complete the wajhun attention is facing me as I'm making this salawat. What should be going through our hearts and mind? And as we close the eyes and you say, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, what connection shouldn't there be? And then the last point, my dear brothers, under the salawat, the ulama explained, this salawat is an ibadah. Even though Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the focus of the ibadah, peace, salutations and blessings we send on the Nabi, but it's an ibadah to who? It is ibadah to Allah. Allah created the Nabi of Allah. Allah instructed us to make salawat to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as an ibadah, what quality must be there? Sifatul ihsan. So mind shouldn't only be focused on Masjid al-Nabawi and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But beyond that, we should think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should picture, the mind should go to the Nabi as the angel presented. But at the same time, the mind should go towards Allah is watching me. And with the cherry on the top, my dear brothers, and with this we will conclude, the cherry on the top, subhanallah. So one is our mind will go to Sifatul Ihsan as we zooming into the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The mind is going to Allah. Who has created all of this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama give an example. So in other words, shukr should go to Allah as well. The child is in the madrasa, he goes home, the night before his father come and fetch him, he tells the his friend, just borrow me a 10 rand. I want to go to the tuck shop, I want to buy me something. He gives him the 10 rand. Tomorrow when my father picks me up, I'll repay you. The next day his father comes and says, I borrowed from so and so a 10 rand, I want to give it back to him. He takes the 10 rand from his father, he runs to his friend's car, he presents it to his friend, Jazakallah for giving me the 10 rand. So his father asks, the friend's father, what happened? No, your friend was very kind last night, he gave me a 10 rand. His father said, I shame my joy, didn't you have? Here's 100 rand for you. Man salla alayya wahidan, sallallahu alayhi asara. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did us a favor. We mukafa are trying to repay the Nabi by sending salutations out of shukr. Allah gives us 10 thawab. So not only the love of the Nabi increases, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases. So may Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq and ability, my dear brothers, that when we do the dhikr, we apply the heart, we apply the mind, we apply the body, so we can get the full quality of sifatul ihsan. May Allah ta'ala grant us this quality of sifatul ihsan in all our amal, inshaAllah.